Time now for the worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church here on AM 1380 WPHM Port Huron.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the Lord's house this day. For those on radio, WPHM, my podcast. We greet you and welcome you to the worship here of our Savior at 6th and Wall Street, Port Huron, base of Grandview Tower. As the signal came that we're on radio, and Jeremy did a wonderful job on his prelude, I was looking up on Facebook a feed that I had forwarded yesterday. I debated that very quickly while I forwarded it in Facebook. I said, should I do it at church? So for those who will be offended, I apologize. But this is Martin Luther, Reformer. This is a quotation from a website which is called Old Lutheran, if you've ever been there. It's cute. Here's a statement from Luther. Whoever drinks beer, he is quick to sleep. Whoever sleeps long does not sin. Whoever does not sin enters heaven. Thus, let us drink beer. You can tell he's German. You don't even have to guess. So if that's offensive, I'm sorry, but that's Luther. Just read Martin and you'll understand he was a down-to-earth pastor who just love God, and from our point of view, rightly discern God's will and grace in the cross of Jesus. He was known to drink his beer too. So you won't find us in the line of the abstainers. Well, it's always good to laugh. That's one of the ways, one of the gifts God gives us, the ability. You're going to hear in the scripture readings of the day, you're going to, anything that comes out of Ecclesiastes, I kind of say, I feel like to sit on the curb with somebody in deep depression or yourself in deep depression and say, oh, life is terrible. But if there's any good news in Ecclesiastes, is at the very end, which is not the pericope for today, but it says, if everything is all vain, then the only thing left to go back to your work and thank God for what you have and live out your days. It's a simple formula. So those who feel like life's targeted against them, that the bottom line is once you're in relationship with God, you can face it all. Okay, so we gather this day with Eucharist. And if you'll please rise. Oh, look at that, on command, you did it. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all of our sin, whose mercy endures forever. Amen. Seeking reconciliation with God and neighbor, let us remember the gift of baptism and confess our sin. Together we confess. God of mercy, we confess that we have sinned against you, against one another, and against the earth entrusted to your care. We are worried and distracted by many things, and we fail to love you above all else. We store up treasures for ourselves and turn away from our neighbors in need. Forgive us that we may live in the freedom of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. When we were laid low by sin and by guilt, God made us alive together with Christ. So forgiving us all of our trespasses by taking our sins to the cross for freedom, Christ has set us free. Rejoice in this good news. Amen. We sing our entrance hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy.
Thank you.
God, in the communion of the Holy Spirit, be with you all. Our hymn of praise, we sing verses 1 and 4. All glory be to God on high. 1 and 4. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Together we pray the prayer of the day, if you'll join me. Benevolent God, you are the source, the guide, and the goal of our lives. Teach us to love what is worth loving, to reject what is offensive to you, and to treasure what is precious in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Tony Gaines reads and gives us the first word from the Lord. Oh, Judy. Oh, you slipped out for her. Judy Evers, first lesson.
First reading comes from Ecclesiastes, chapters 1 and 2, with various verses. Vanity of vanities, says the teacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. I, the teacher, when king over Israel and Jerusalem, applied my mind to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given to human beings to be busy with. I saw all the deeds that are done under the sun, and see all is vanity and a chasing after wind. I hated all my toil in which I had toiled under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to those who come after me, and who knows whether they will be wise or foolish. Yet they will be master of all for which I toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This also is vanity. So I turned and gave my heart up to despair concerning all the toil of my labors under the sun, because sometimes one who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave all to be enjoyed by another who did not toil for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. What do mortals get from all the toil and strain with which they toil under the sun? for all their days and full of pain are full of pain, and their work is a vexation. Even at night, their minds do not rest. This also is vanity. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Judy. Second reading from Colossians. The previous two Sundays has introduced it. Now Tony brings us chapter 3.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Life in Christ includes a radical reorientation of our values. Just as the newly baptized shed their old clothes in order to put on new garments, so Christians are called to let go of greed and take hold of a life shaped by God's love in Christ. Today, the second reading comes from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. So begins the reading. So if you have raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God, and set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly: fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. These are the ways you also once followed, and when you were living that life. But now you must get rid of all things: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. And do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices and have clothed yourself with a new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of the Creator. In that renewal, there is no longer Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free, but Christ is all and in all. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Tony. If you're able to stand, please stand for the gospel acclamation. We speak together. Alleluia. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Alleluia. Text for this day's gospel is Luke, 12th chapter, beginning with verse 13. Glory to you, O Lord. So someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who am I to set to be a judge or an arbitrator over you?" And then he said to them, "Take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of your possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly. He thought to himself, "What should I do? For I don't have a place to store my crops." Then he said, "I know what I'll do. I'll do this. I'll pull down my barns and I'll build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. So eat, relax, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is going to be demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. For those on radio, podcast WPHM, or in-house with us at Our Savior, Port Huron, God's grace, mercy, and peace this day. You can follow the sermon outline in your bulletin, but I'd rather get you into the scripture. So if you open your bulletin, page 5. I have and I would totally do a full sermon just on Ecclesiastes. the events of yesterday and then overnight, I have listened to, and it's just so disgusting. But then I try to project myself into El Paso, 19 dead, while shopping at a mall, probably doing school shopping, those kind of things, in preparation for their children, for themselves, for the fall. Getting those summer sales, and then instantly changed in a twinkling of an eye to prepare for the death and funeral of a loved one. Oh, devastating. This morning I was waking up to hear at 4 o'clock about over there in Dayton, Ohio. Cheryl and I had lived in Dayton for a year for my year of internship. It's a wonderful, calm little bedroom community. North of it is where the Air Force has their museum, and some people believe those aliens from Nevada are stored in their confines of the U.S. government. Government still denies it all these years. Right, Pat? A lot of neat things there. And one of the biggest things, and I liked, I could relate, Kettering, which is a seven-day Adventist hospital, was the largest hospital in the area. When I heard the nurse in charge of communications for the system, they now have 9 hospitals in their ring around Dayton. She said, we had 3 brought to our system, but the others are taken away. I think it's like 20 went to hospitals, not knowing what the outcome would be for their loved one. But for sure, at this moment, until body count is finalized, 9 died. They're in Dayton, Ohio. I'm not going to get into the political issues. It's just like, what is the insanity? Where is the origin? Now, a lot of people who are politically motivated, a lot of them who think they know human sciences, give their guesstimate of what it is. For those who are theologically based, it goes back to sin. Emptiness. Trying to make a name for yourself where you don't have a name. Something that is impressive, even if it's terrible, to get their mark in human history. Oh, good Lord. The writer of Ecclesiastes is writing to us today as much as he did 3,000 years ago. When I sit down at night in my empty apartment or my home, and I consider everything I have achieved or accumulated for myself, and I say, what good was it anyways? Does my life really make a difference? When I ponder it further, the writer of Ecclesiastes, you got to read the whole book to understand his struggle for meaning. He says, I've tried everything. I tried womanizing. I tried accumulation of wealth. I tried having fun and parties, but you know what? They were all empty, had no purpose, no satisfaction for the human soul. Yeah, you can go through the motions so people say, oh, aren't you happy? Don't they have so much? Why should they ever bellyache about anything? They have provisions. But the one thing they don't have is peace of mind, wholeness, satisfaction for what they have, thankful heart. Oh, believe me, what the Apostle Paul says in the New Testament is absolutely true. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. In all your situations, give thanks and praise to your God. You see, when we bellyache, if we just give God thanks for what we got, that will change our attitude real quick. Like, the natural part of our body and existence would say, why are you giving thanks for the pain and the things you endure in your life? The answer is, I'm just thankful. God has made provision for me, God cares for me, and God never lets me forget God is there. The only answer to this polemic problem, this human situation problem, is not in taking somebody else's life so you reduce them and you come down to their level. In revenge or sense of satisfaction, you have taken out so much in the United States, as you know, is done in the workplace. Some have just been recently, let go, fired, and they go back in and kill the people. Oh, that's not the way to resolve your issue. You're not going to find satisfaction in you to have destroyed other people's lives. That's not the remedy. The remedy is between us and our God. Getting that right will make other things adjustable, tolerable, livable, and most importantly, thankful for that which we have received. So as I indicated in the introduction to the service, it's not in these verses, but later on in Ecclesiastes, after he has reported in his life, I've tried everything, and I'm still restless. Then I came to discover that the only solution is just put in your time, do the work that you have been set before you to do, have a relationship with your God, and live your days. Buckle down, vernacular, suck it up, and go on with life. Second reading, Colossians. What a contrast. In Ecclesiastes, you get this very depressed person who's probably sitting there with a paper bag on the curb with something in it to take care of his thirst and other things. And now you got Paul talking about life in Christ. It's a contrast. Bipolar? Probably. Ecclesiastes, Old Testament. No hope of resurrection, no understanding of God has a personal relationship with us, just that God is, if God exists, he's far out there and he doesn't care, you know what, about me. Come to the second reading. Oh, he knows you. He knows what your needs are, and he knows in your life, in your baptism, you were raised with Jesus Christ. Now live like it. Not so droopy, droopy, droopy. You know, the old Eeyore mentality. Oh, I guess it's a good day. No. How about giving thanks to God? This is another day I have been made. And while I can say for myself personally, I look forward to the resurrection, an ending of all cessation of all this pain and misery and sin. I do know every day I wake up, I have a purpose. And I hope you can say that. Every morning you wake up, Luther says, pray the Apostles' Creed, because then you're naming your God that you'll start your day with. Pray the Lord's Prayer, because then you're asking God for your daily bread for this day. And be ready and recharged to serve God with the time God gives you. Martin Luther was not sitting around twiddling his thumbs, waiting for God to come down out of the heavens to save him from the Roman Catholic Church that put a bounty on his head. No. People asked him, he said, Luther, if you knew that the world would end today, what would you do? I hope you know this historical response. It's not about beer. He said, I would go out and plant a tree today. If I knew the world was ending Monday, I would take care of my day and live it responsibly until the Lord comes, whenever that may be. I hope we all can cultivate that attitude. Every day is a day to serve God. Every day is a day of an investment in other people's lives. And if you're detached from people, I always recommend to people who are severely depressed, get out of yourself. I'm not going to tell them to their face, suck it up. But I can think it in my mind and my heart. And get about caring for God's people around you. And if you don't know who to care for, I'll give you a list. There are hundreds and thousands of people in need of a Savior that's appropriated for a daily person who walks with me. Not a God way up there who doesn't care. But a God right here, as intimate and as close as your breath, God is there. And we understand that God calls us to do many things. So here's Paul's remedy. You're going to say, Paul's a fanatic anyways. Why should I listen to him? Verse 2, page 7. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For if you have died, your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. What's the contrast between the writer of Ecclesiastes and Paul writing to the Colossian church? One has hope, and one doesn't see any hope. Many people in today's world see no hope. It's all bad, and if there was an existence of a God, oh, would I give him a tongue lashing? Then I take the position, because I've read the book of Job, and God calls Job, when he's starting to bellyache to God for all his misfortunes in life and feeling sorry for himself, like his friends told him to do, curse God. God says, okay, stand before me, son of man, and let me talk to you. You've talked to me. Where were you when I created the heavens and the earth? Where were you when I put together the life, the existence, all the things around you? Did I ask for your advice? Were you even there before I gave you the breath of life? No, it's a rhetorical question, demanding a no. I put it together the way I want to do it. And our struggle with God, and Job knew it too, was we have our own way of putting this plan together. And I would say 99.9% of the time, it's not God's way. So we're going to have a loggerhead. We're going to clash. But God will triumph. I guarantee you. No matter what we do in this nation, as crazy as it is, no matter how families have screwed up their families, no matter how many issues, mental illness, all those kind of problems go on, it's not going to go away. We can treat the symptom, but we can't address the problem. The problem ultimately is theological, relationship with God. And of course, everybody wants the church to be quiet. I sort of appreciated one law enforcement officer yesterday at El Paso. He says, it's time for the ministers to leave their church and get in and deal with the families and their mental health problems. I believe it, but I know it's not going to happen because we're already here and they haven't come to us. There is such a wall against God's followers. There's such a barrier between them and us. We try to breach it, but the world wants no part of us. Tuesday evening, we're going to be at National Night Out over at First United Methodist. And we hope as many of you can join us. It's going to be a different fashion and format than previous years. But we have at least five of our churches from downtown who are going to be in the public. And we're going to be sharing resources. We're not going to promote our own church, but we're going to be Christ in the midst of the neighborhood. A visible presence to our people in recovery or just dealing with financial or emotional or kid raising family issues. Because there needs to be lifelines, preservers thrown out there in the water so that people know somebody cares. And when we care, others will kind of respond at God's time to the resources we provide in Christ's name. Yes, we are finding our meaning and purpose in relationship with God. Now we come to that wonderful question about human greed, misguided loyalties, priorities. This story for me hits home because my mother had an issue. She's deceased, so I can talk about her. She was the only one with six kids in the family that she was born into. And her mother and father were unemployed, and so were the kids. She was the oldest one. And she worked during the Depression to put food on the table. Okay, understand the burden on one. That's why I am what I am, totally a workaholic. She modeled what I began. When her mother died, she was staying with another sister, Anna and Bill, and she passed on to her sister, Anna, her wedding ring. Oh, did we hear it, my father and I, hear how my mother was upset. This was the only symbol of her mother, and she had sweat and gave her all for the family, and now it's given to another sibling. Okay, can you feel that emotional strain? Rightly or wrongly, and this is where we come up to the situation of Jesus being asked the question. You make my brother give up the inheritance because I deserve it. Okay? I don't know if you've been in those shoes, but if you do, you can touch what greed does. And of course, modern day parents now put post-it notes on everything in the house. So we don't get into fights. Or ask them, gift them before we die. But that's not a solution that certainly doctors it. The issue is within the heart. Why do we even say those things? Why do we even covet those things? Why do we desire them? And so Jesus gives a teaching, a parable. Now, having lived in North Dakota, there was a wonderful harvest one of my 3 years there. And these farmers were pulling in grain hand over fist, and for them, that's money, okay? They couldn't sell it fast enough on the rail cars to take it out to market. So they had an economic, financial question. What do we do with all this grain we've been blessed with? And just like the man in the parable story, I'll take down my towers, the silos, and I'll build bigger ones. And if they didn't do it financially, then they covered it with tarps, their grain, to keep it from weathering. But in this story that Jesus taught, this man took his trust and confidence in his assets, his earnings, right? Don't we all? Haven't we been taught and acculturated in this world, accumulate because there may not be anybody there to take care of you when you need it, right? I hate this. It's not scripture. People use the phrase, God helps those who help themselves. That's a lie. God helps us even beyond our needs. So don't do it. Don't believe that. God helps his children. Let's say that. He buffers us. He cares for us. He builds resources for us. He achieves things for us that we can't achieve. We have done nothing to earn what we have accumulated. We are to be stewards. The world's trying to grab that word, but it is the church's word in the New Testament. A steward is a manager. You and I are just receiving in our paychecks, our sweat and trying to keep this thing together, like farmers do, and understanding that when all is said and done, our needs were provided, the daily bread was there on the table, all those things are provided for us. But do we stop and say, thank you, Lord, you got us through another crisis. Thank you, Lord, you're managing us in the midst of this crisis, because sometimes we're the uncontrolled factor. What we're going to think and what we feel and what we're going to do about it. But the bottom line is, thank you, Lord, for all you've given me. So this man's life, he's going to die that night. Who takes possession? That's the first lesson, too. You worked so hard, sweat and toil. Now, who's it going to be? And you know, and we all know, they're not going to manage it the way we did. Oh, you ought to hear people putting riders on their wills and all kinds of things. Kids can't get it. They get the force. They don't get the what we work for. We're looking for legal protection. But you know what? You died. And you have a little say-so in what you can do with it. But the courts, the laws, and your siblings and your children, and all the people around you are going to be looking with hands open. What do we get? Instead of grieving. The loss of the person, we just hear cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. That's not life. That's greed. Let's name the sin. One of the seven deadly sins, as it gets called. Now, it all sounds negative, unfortunately, but it's not. It's a warning from the Lord Jesus. You and I are given a certain amount of time. We don't know when it's going to abruptly stop. But when it does, nothing goes across the grave except whether or not you had a relationship with Jesus Christ. That simple. It's not legal wills and testimonies, last wills and testimonies. It's you and God. And it won't be your deeds. It's not going to be all the things you gave to hospitals, to churches, and all this stuff. No! That's material. That stays here. The only thing that goes is you to meet your Lord. We don't want to be bankrupt, Jesus says. We want to be rich with God. May we learn to value the things that God says are the true values, not to buy into the false values of this culture, but to be faithful stewards for what we do receive with thankful hearts. Amen. And now may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us, remain with us always. Amen. We sing our hymn of the day, page 10. We sing, "Come, Join the Day." We affirm our faith after hearing, reading the Word of God with the Apostles' Creed, page 11. Together, let us affirm our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. And on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Service continues with prayer. Scott will lead us.
Let us pray. Treasure your promise to hear us when we call. We pray for the church, those in need, and all of your creation. Your people struggle with the weariness and toil of living in a broken world. Work through your church to restore justice and mercy and send rest and comfort to all who are bowed down. Trusting in God, our abundant provider, let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
Your creation longs for generous care. Give growth to the fields, strength to the farmers, ranchers, and laborers who toil in summer's heat, and wisdom to respect Earth's bounty. Trusting in God, our loving Creator, let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
Your world reflects our image in billions of unique ways. Touch every life, low and high, rich and poor, and sway every heart towards your merciful will. Trusting in God, our sovereign, let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
Your people in this congregation praise you and pray for your almighty help. Comfort those who suffer from anxiety, depression, or stress. Provide those in need, especially Sharon Cunningham, Susan Phillips, Jill Harper, Jeff Parker's Uncle David, Jared Lucas, Phyllis Akers, Lisa Slider, Carrie Harper, Jeff Beckett, Lois Pike, Bill Bundiger, Bob McMoran, Tammy Middleton, Bev Chidster, Dorothy Schess, Connie Kretsch. Be with the family of Jaylee Helton, the great-granddaughter of Joe and Arlene Coulthard, and Joyce Hyde. And Lord, be with those serving our nation, Corey Middleton, Tristan Morrison, Jamie Souyer, and Jaron Souyer, Rob Nolan, Faye Wright, and those returning safely from their service at home and overseas, and those returning to our communities. Trusting in God, our purpose and goal, let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
Your communities near and far lack basic resources. Supply work and health and care for all those who are in need. Bring relief to those who are overworked. Trusting in God, our help, let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
Dear Heavenly Father, be with the people of El Paso and Dayton. Be with all the victims of violence who have been touched by fear and loathing. Lord, be with those who struggle with evil and the darkness of the thoughts, and reset their minds to a right path. Your saints who have died now, rest in your merciful care. Comfort us in faith and love as we continue our labor on earth. Trusting in God who gives life to the dead, let us pray.
Have mercy, O God. And all these things, and even more, we ask in the name of our risen Lord, Jesus the Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
If you please be seated, we receive our gifts, which enable our ministry in Christ's name. In your bulletin, you have each received a special delivery bundle from Donna Taylor, our secretary. It's stapled together. We have chosen not to mail out snail mail the newsletter bulk and have to produce over 200 copies, of which 200 will be sent bulk rate, but rather to make it available. Now, we tried that last month, which was a slower month, and I would say we had 2/3 of the sheets left over in the back of the church. Well, that was a wasted effort. So we're taking it to you in your bulletin. Now, Donna knows, and I know because I see it, you put your now's many people back in the box so you can frustrate us. But I encourage you to take it with you. It is in the e-letter I sent out last week. It'll be in it one more time on tomorrow. But take it home so everybody knows who is doing what, when, and where. Okay, so please do it. You get the calendar. You get as well the servers. You get as well birthdays, as well as the focus on the family, creating the conditions for love. Oh Lord, we need that. So please do that. Now, let me also direct your attention to the insert for the Old Town Churches. I'm just going to say, don't want to confuse you. Prior, we said it was at another location, and it was. But in working with the Methodist Church since last Sunday, they're going to host us on their grounds because they already had something. We're going to come in parallel and become one for the Old Town Church's National Night Out. It will not be like others if you've been to them in the last 6 years. This is going to be different. It's not going to be so much entertainment, but there's going to be fun things to do. The YMCA has been invited over to do games. So that's for children. We also will have ice cream. The Roman Church, as Sharon had indicated, their tradition was to use the little cups of ice cream. So they'll be there with little cups of ice cream. But the Methodist Church was used to scooping it. We thought, that's a lot of work, and we're going to have a health department here. And they said, that's okay. We'll do it that way. So we're going to have two. See, this is how you kind of compromise in denominations. We're going to have ice cream both ways. And it will be good coming together. We're going to provide the face painting. Now, you may say to yourself, I can't people's faces. I make a mess of it. Well, you can make a huge brush and make it one color. No. You can't miss and go wrong. But if you can't do that, what we need are people who are going to be meet and greet people. Walking around the grounds, just greeting them and say, hey, what's your name? I'm from Our Savior. Now, if you can say those 6 or 7 words, we need you. We're not doing a bicycle donation or anything like that, but it's material. We're not going to have bouncy houses because I never saw any of you in them. So we're not doing that stuff. We're going to do it more tempered, more conservative, and I think we'll find that it's really good. As I indicated, we have 5 congregations participating, all different denominations, and this will be good. We still work together, and we got more things in the end of these months of this year, 2019. So pass the word around, because communication in this town is really difficult when the Times Herald doesn't support you. Okay? So try to get the word out to others, families, individuals. It's not just if you live in the Old Town. It is sponsored by Old Town, but it's also for the community and at large. So please give it consideration. Also in your now different things, and I noticed when I put some of the e-letters in people's mailboxes from this previous Monday, that some people still haven't picked up their financial statements. Right, Marcia? I saw that. So if you haven't been to your mailbox, see, now that I put the e-letter in it, I know who picks up their mail. So check your mailbox, pick up what is in there, take it home. Don't throw it to the garbage can. I know it's closer. Take it home and look at it, okay? It's for a reason, a purpose. Well, we're here to praise God, receive from God sacrament, but we present our gifts. Please rise. We sing verses 1 and 4. Father Most Holy. Thank you.
Blessed are you, O God, for the greening of the earth, given for all the talents we are given to share, and for this bread and wine. Transform us to be the body of Christ, that feasting on this food and this drink, our lives may reflect your generosity. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. So let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread. He gave thanks. He broke it. He gave it to his disciples. He said, "Take and eat, for this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks. He gave it for all to drink. And he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. It's given and shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." So it's with this bread and cup we remember our Lord's Passover from death to life as we proclaim this mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. So let us pray as our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. God invites you to this table of bounty, so come. The banquet is ready. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. We'll sing during distribution. Come, for all is ready. Dear Scott. This is Christ's body, given for you. Take it. This is Christ's blood, shed for you, Scott. Take and drink.
Katie, Christ's body broken for you. Jim, Christ's body broken for you. PB, blood of Christ shed for you. Jeremy, blood of Christ shed for you. Take and drink. You receive the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Through his death and his resurrection, you receive full satisfaction for your sins. You may go in his peace.
Turn my pages here. We continue with the blessing. If you'll please rise, page 20, and then we'll pray. Okay. And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ bless and keep you now and forever. Amen.
Oh God, in this holy communion you have welcomed us into your presence, nourished us with words of mercy, and fed us at your table. Amid the cares, the life strengthens us to love you with all our heart. Serve our neighbors with a willing spirit and honor the earth you have made. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Live your lives in Christ, rooted and built up in Christ, and abound in thanksgiving. And the blessing of the Holy Trinity, one God, be upon you, remain with you forever.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church. Begins each Sunday at 8:30 here on WPHM, Port Huron.